Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi guys, Giovanna here. Now, before we start this week's episode, I wanted to let you know that this week, the 9th to the 15th of October 2018, is Baby Loss Awareness Week. The death of a baby is sadly not a rare event. It can happen to anyone, and this week is all about breaking the silence and talking about baby loss. With that in mind, this week's guest is Amanda Holden. In the episode, which we recorded back in March 2018, when I was around 16 weeks pregnant with Max, Amanda shares her experience of losing her baby Theo 7 months into her pregnancy back in 2011. By talking about baby loss, we can help break down the barriers and support other mothers who are affected by the death of a baby or experience pregnancy loss. So please join the conversation by using the hashtag BLAW2018. Thank you. And welcome to another episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. So this week we have, well, she's an actress, a presenter, and one of the amazing judges of Britain's Got Talent. It's Amanda Holden.
Hello.
Hello.
It's lovely
Hello.
To be here.
So this podcast is all about being a mum.
Yes. I don't know what I'm going to say.
And that's the best thing. I don't really know. So I have, every week, I have like a list of sort of questions or bullet points next to me, and I generally don't look at them.
I think it's best.
Yeah.
Let's freewheel.
Let's
free range, I nearly said then. That's
also,
not right.
I think it kind of breaks up a conversation if I'm just like, Anda, one second.
Let me just check my
notes. Yeah. I just don't like to look down at them. So let's just go for it.
Let's just chat.
What sort of a mum did you think you were going to be?
Oh my gosh. I think I thought I was going to be a lot more organic than I am. I think when I had my first baby, I was thinking, right, yeah, I'm going to definitely wash all fruit. They're only going to play with wooden toys. I'm going to sing nursery rhymes to them, and I'm never going to let them have an iPad.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know, that's just gone out the window. Actually, I was a little bit organic with Lexi. She kind of only had blueberries pass her, you know, lips till about the age of three. When I had Holly, she was in the chocolate buttons, I think, just after she was weaned.
It's so
that's
hard,
a lie,
though,
by the way.
I think when you've got an older child and the younger child sees what they're eating, how can you possibly
you
stop
can't
them?
Do it. And I think the biggest thing when you're a parent is, and this is a cliche, but it's true, that you have your baby, you get home and you're like, I really don't know what I'm supposed to do. And me and Chris, my husband, we literally high-fived at Lexi's first birthday pot that we'd kept somebody alive for a year. That's how kind of flailing around we were. So I don't know what kind of mother I am. I think I'm the best mother I could possibly be in the circumstances. That's all I've got.
That's good, though. I think I always had this vision of me being like Maria from The Sound of Music mixed in with the Oxo Mum.
So you're quite handy with a needle. Can you convert curtains into...
No, I can't. Yeah. That's what I need. I need some lessons in sewing. Some spare curtains.
We've got blinds. They wouldn't go. They're blackout blinds. They wouldn't look good.
Not children.
Not on a child. No.
It's cruel.
Actually, the Oxo, that's a much... That was a really good, realistic family there.
It was.
And I think that's probably, I mean, this is going off track, but I think that's why that advert resonated so much. But I think before that, in history, you always saw families portrayed in such a perfect 2.4 clean, healthy way. And it's it's just rubbish.
Yeah.
And that was like the first, probably one of the first sort of dysfunctional.
When you saw them grow up as well.
Families. Yeah. They all grew up and
go through their different stages of teenagers and just grunting.
Yeah. It was actually, that's a really good analogy of times changing.
Yeah, well, I'm at the start of that, you know. I still don't think I'm there. I'm not her either.
No. Gosh, no. I think when you become a mum, I do look at my mum, my own mum now, and think she was an amazing mum.
Yeah.
She's much more laid back than me.
Oh, really?
She used to let us bury cutlery and crockery in the garden just to keep us quiet and happy and amused.
But that's her version of the iPad.
Yeah.
Take a
plate. Go take a plate.
Go take a plate. I remember really clearly digging up, like, you know, the sort of when you go to a just like a fry up cafe and they give you the metal teapots that you burn your hands on, and they're so pointless. We had one of them and we were so thrilled that we dug it up. We completely forgot we buried it. Like dogs we were, me and my sister. We found bone. We found a teapot. We dug it up and we washed it and gave it to my granddad for his birthday. Because he loved tea. But that's my mum was just chilled and I tidy up my children's toys before they've even finished playing with them. They're in some kind of weird Barbie scenario. And I've killed the action and I've killed it because it's bath. I know, it's terrible. Absolutely terrible. Whereas my mum, when she comes to look after the children, the house is an absolute wreck and I just have to close off to it. I'm horrendous.
And if your mum comes and looks after your kids.
Yeah, I have to just keep my mouth shut. And because I know that she's actually giving them a much better time than I do. And that I'm the one that got to learn from my mum and go, stop clearing up. They're only little ones. Just let them make an absolute mess. It doesn't matter about your posh paint on the wall and that lovely mix of pink. It will wash off.
Just... No, when our house is getting decorated, decorated, well, we've... We just colour match the posh paint because, you know, this one, you can wipe it.
Oh, I've done that now.
Okay.
So that's how we started, yeah. But the posh one that begins with an F and a B, you now just take a photograph and you go
and
down
the
to the one beginning with a D. The diamond finish one.
Exactly.
Where, like, dogs, anything can cock their leg on it and it's all fine. We've got
it's
that
so
now.
It's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way forward, I think.
100%. Sorry, I'm slurping coffee at the same time.
That sound effect.
I'm having an almond milk cappuccino.
Oh, darling.
Because I'm in a cafe where I can.
I'm having a water. And I think it's a tap water at that.
Oh.
So how did you find your pregnancies?
So Lexi, it was dead easy. I remember I got to about 34, 35, and I'd met Chris 4 or 5 years before, and I knew I wanted to have babies with this man. It was like primal. Ridiculous. Never thought really about kids before. Loved other people's children.
Really? You hadn't even thought
I hadn't had the sort of overwhelming, oh my God, I've got to have children, till I met him. And it was definitely that thing they talk about where you just want another one of him. And I'm sorry if that's you eating your cornflakes. He is very good looking, my husband. And we had a lovely, lovely sort of courtship, as my nan would say. Really nice time. And I suddenly thought, oh gosh, I'm 35 nearly. I think we ought to start trying for a baby. And I said to Chris, we do want children, don't we? Because we hadn't even really. And he said, oh yeah, in the future, yeah. And I went, well, my eggs will be like raisins in about 8 years. We probably need to think this now.
Yeah.
So we said, okay, we'll start trying. And I got pregnant in the first month.
No.
And it was the biggest shock. And I will never forget the day. I had a phone call. I'd literally peed on a stick. We were waiting for it to come through.
Yeah.
And my phone rang and it came up agent. And of course, I was like, oh, that takes priority. I handed Chris the stick and I took the call and it came up pregnant. And I was on the phone to my agent and we were both going, and I went, hang on a minute, Sue, I'm going to have to call you back. I'll call you back. And we both just stared at it going, oh my God. And Chris went, but you said we needed to try and then it probably wouldn't happen first time and that you're 35. And I went, I know.
And probably all the guys are thinking,
my
sex,
God.
Lots of sex.
Loads
of sex. I remember before we started trying, Tom was like, wow.
This is brilliant. Yeah. So, and I had the most, I funnily enough, we were in South Africa as well, which was a very odd thing. So I was filming a show, I was in drama called Wild at Heart. So then, you know, Chris was in England for loads of it and would fly out back out to me. So I basically got fatter and fatter. My boobs were fabulous. Stephen Tompkinson was playing my husband. And, you know, I literally started wearing polo necks in 28 degree heat because it was obvious that I was having a baby, but I wasn't in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't have a big handbag like they do in EastEnders. I didn't even have a basket.
Not a lion to hide
behind.
No
kind
me.
Of lion no. cub, nothing. So I was on my own for a lot of the pregnancy, which I loved because I completely connected with my little girl and we were very curious. So we found out she was a little girl. And I remember reading everything. I made fruit smoothies every morning. I had headphones of classical music on my tummy between takes. I remember one morning having a massive panic because I did my smoothie, whizzed it up. I couldn't find the lid to the top of it, so I held my hand over the top so it didn't splash anywhere. I did think it was all a bit crunchy when I was whizzing it. Drank it and realised I'd crushed up some of the plastic lid and drunk it. And so I had to go into work and say to them, you can't film today. I've drunk a plastic lid and I've got a baby in my tummy in the plastic lid. Might harm the baby. And everyone was like, she's insane. Why have you drunk? I was craving plastic lid and I wasn't. And I had to go into the depths of Joburg and have a scan and just have everything
checked.
They
were just like, you're fine.
You're just mad and it's absolutely fine. And the baby, by this time, I was sort of like coming up to 5 months.
Yeah.
And I just made it out of the country before I wasn't allowed to fly.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I went back with a baby the following year.
Well, work great about...
They were extraordinary because it was a brand new show and it was, you know, big. There was a lot of money put mm-hmm. into it. And obviously I was the leading lady in it and that wasn't the plan. But I think they were more worried that I would feel like I couldn't come back, but I just slung the baby on my back and came back the following year. But for my pregnancy was an absolute dream, and the birth was an absolute dream, and all very relaxed. I had placenta previa.
Okay.
I called it placenta prada because it meant I had to have a C-section, which was fabulous. But I know that's not an organic earth mothery thing to say, but thank God I have to have a C-section. Brilliant. So I did. I got my nails done. I did full hair and makeup, but I went down.
How lovely.
It's true. And I took what I thought I had my music in tow, but I didn't. It was an empty cassette case. So that was a panic.
Oh, no.
And I just remember being in hospital and the obstetrician coming in and sitting on the floor with Chris and them chatting about what music they liked. And I was looking at my watch going, are we going to do this? Are we going to have this baby? And we had her about 11:30 at night. She just missed being Aquarius. She's Capricorn. Yeah, which is fine. Fine. I'm Aquarius. So I was wanting her to be there.
Yeah.
My next one.
We're great. So.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. You can't be us.
No.
But now she's a goat.
Goats are great though.
Yeah, goats. They're side climbers mm-hmm. and never underestimate a goat.
One of my sayings is be more goat.
Really?
Yeah. After Oman. So I went on this trek to Oman in November.
Oh, yes, you did.
And it was so difficult, but the goats found it really easy. Yes. So our mantra was be more goat. Yeah.
Really hard workers.
Yeah.
And they are good on up a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of born for it, unlike humans. So, yeah, it was lovely. It was a really lovely pregnancy. She was a really easy baby, and I did everything by the book. I did the whole sort of 11... 3, 6
really
feed yeah on the button on the nose. My mum thought I was insane because whenever Chris and I sort of popped out for a 2-hour dinner date or something, my mum would I'd literally give my mum a piece of paper that said 50 mil at 11 o'clock, don't even if she's crying at like 5:02 don't give her anything till my mum that all went out. My mum was like, don't be stupid, I brought up two daughters, I never did any of that, you're both all right. So yeah,
is that I read a lot of books before having Buzz and I was like, there is a routine, there's a structure, I've got to do it like this.
Yeah, I and did then, it though.
Really?
I did it. And I have to say, for Lexi, right from the word go, she loved structure. And we were talking before we went on air about how she loves school. She hates being, you know, she would never be naughty. Yeah. She respects her teachers. She loves a timetable.
Yeah.
Everything's organised. And I think maybe I made her that way. I like to think she was born that way and accidentally fell into a routine that I created for her.
So how long did you have off work before you had to go back?
She was born in the January and I went back to work in the June. So she was sort of at the smiling, you know, she was strong and 5 months, and Chris flew back over to South Africa with me and settled us in, and I had to have help out there.
Yeah.
So that was odd.
Of course, you've got to work.
But I hated that. Well,
she can't be in the scene.
No, I know, although she did feature. She
had
featured in it as when she was little. Yeah, I had other people sort of wheeling her around.
Aww.
And yeah, so she came over, and I did find it hard being not with my husband, I have to say, and working in a foreign land, as much as everybody was incredible. I think it's because she was still so little.
Yeah.
It's that thing, isn't it? You always think you can go back to work, and you can get on with it. and my mum did, and my grandmother worked, and we're right from that kind of
an ethos. They all did.
All did. But I did find it difficult. But it was a wonderful thing. Your heart would lift every day when you think, oh, she's coming in at lunchtime. Oh. And then I can do this. And I would read to her every night and bath her every night. And they were amazing at getting me home. And, you know, I still did all the feeds whenever I could. Yeah. She was around. So, but I missed being home. And I think my mum found it hard. My mum flew out and my grandmother flew out. Oh. But it was hard because they all wanted to be near the baby. Yeah. Obviously, not me. I didn't matter.
Oh, no. No.
It's amazing. My mum actually said, I didn't think I would love your children as much as I love you and Debbie, but I do.
It's like,
I
think crazy, she loves because them for more. Them, they just get the fun bit. They get the cuddles.
Yeah.
They don't get the sleepless nights.
Yeah, they don't get any of the sort of arguments and door slamming that you get when they're 12 either. But yeah, it was wonderful. Really lovely.
Yeah.
Easy pregnancy. That was your question, like 10 hours ago. Sorry.
That's why I love this. Davina, when she came on, she just kept on talking. She was like, am I allowed to just carry on? I was like, yeah, you go for it. You just keep speaking.
She loves a chat.
She does. She does. Yeah. She's like you. And then you fell pregnant again after Lexi.
So Lexi, we waited quite a long time. And then I actually had a miscarriage at quite late, at sort of 16 weeks.
Mm.
So that was really tough.
Had you announced it at that point?
Yes, we had. We got, because once you'd got past the thing, you just think, okay, this is all fine. And that was absolutely horrendous. Mm. But in hindsight, because I know we'll talk about later, I think it was one of life's ways of preparing me for something that was coming that was worse. I mean, miscarriage is awful.
Yeah.
But what happened to me later, I think, doesn't even touch it, to be honest. Mm. And we were very excited and we'd told Lexi, but she was little.
Yeah.
I mean, to be absolutely honest with you, we never talk about that baby. So that baby sort of disappeared into the ethos. Not that we don't think about it, but I don't think Lexi's even remembered.
Yeah.
So that's just a little floating piece of hope. I always think of miscarriages because that's what goes, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's your hope and you're expecting something and it just doesn't materialise. And so then after that, we did wait quite a long time because that sort of knocked us for six. And then we were thrilled to get pregnant again. I have no problems getting pregnant. It's brilliant. As Chris has
found
out.
That's amazing.
I know, it's really, really lucky. And, you know, by this time I'm getting on. So I was sort of, I must have been about 39, 38, 39. And then I was 39 when I fell pregnant with our son, Theo. And that we absolutely kept completely under wraps because of the miscarriage previously and because of, you know, you when you tell everyone, everyone gets upset. So even when you can start coping with something, you're actually coping with a lot of other people's grief and upset and disappointment. And actually, that's sometimes too much to bear. So I said so Chris and I absolutely kept it under wraps. And until we were nearly 5 months pregnant.
How did you manage
that? I don't know, but I literally looked like I'd had a small Yorkshire pudding. And he was gorgeous. He was, you know, we went for a regular scan. There was absolutely, he was perfect. We even went on holiday because I remember we told Lexi, we were in the Maldives and I was in a bikini. And I did sort of wander around sort of with my hands there or a sarong on or something. When I look at the pictures now, I am clearly pregnant.
Yeah.
How I didn't think anyone knew, I don't know. But nobody did.
Yeah.
And we told Lexi and she was utterly thrilled and dismayed because we knew it was a boy. And I had to sort of convince her that he would never nick her dollies and he wouldn't want anything in her bedroom and all her clothes would be her own forever. And she came round to that. And
were you worried in this pregnancy because of the miscarriage?
I think you always have that thing of, oh God, I really hope that doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
And there were, you know, miscarriages, a miscarriage, there's never, we weren't given any real reason, which is a relief on one hand. But on the other hand, you're like, well, is there anything I can do the next time to stop that from happening? And then more than often than not, there is nothing you can do and you just have to sort of move march on, don't you really? And so we told Lexi and I went and did Britain's Got Talent and we told Britain's Got Talent.
Right, okay.
Yeah, we sort of had to by then. Yeah. And there are lots of pictures, you know, of Chris coming down and me in this sort of pink dress with this bump. And so I see those pictures around a lot and still think, oh, that's my baby in there. That's my baby in there. But it's not Holly, because Holly often thinks that's her in there, but it's not Holly. And yeah, and it carried on till sort of the end of January. And it was the oddest thing, because we'd make jokes about pressing the buzzer and the baby would kick when there was music. And, you know, I was worried about the buzzers. I was like, oh gosh, I hope the baby's not frightened. But obviously it's in a mixed swimming pool in my tummy. It's not hearing much. And I remember we came back from Birmingham. We filmed in Birmingham and I got into bed with Chris and it was late and he put his arm around my tummy and commented how massive I'd grown since he'd seen me only like 3 or 4 days before. And that was it. He went off to work in the morning. And I remember getting up and having a bath and thinking, oh, I haven't felt the baby kick for ages. Mm. Maybe he's asleep. And you do that thing, don't you, where you sort of push them around. And I remember...
Have an orange juice and I...
Yeah, let's do something. Yeah. Let's do something. Nothing's happening. I still didn't panic. I remember watching Loose Women. Mylene Klass was on. She was pregnant with her little girl hero. And because I remember thinking, oh, we must be sort of due at the same time. And then I thought, I'm going to go to the hospital and have a little scan. And this is where I'll just go off track for a bit, because 5 years previously, I made a documentary about midwifery. Mm-hmm. I trained to be a midwife and it's the job I would do if
I
wasn't.
Same.
I honestly loved it. And I had to go into this hospital really near me and be with these midwives. They trained me up. I delivered babies. I sifted poo out of birthing pools. I washed down beds. I had nothing fazed me. Yeah. I loved it. And nobody knew it was me. So many of the women were from Eastern Europe or other places. They looked at me and treated me completely like I was like a junior nurse. You know, I was gripped and scratched and not bitten, but, you know, I was held
you were
on
used.
To. I was used. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I became firm friends with Pippa and Jackie and Natalie. Mm-hmm. They became three really, really good friends, and to Chris as well. And I sometimes think people are in your life for an absolute reason. They were brought to me for an absolute reason. We kept in touch. They, you know, we had dinners out, drunken nights. I mean, they're fabulous women, really fabulous. And they were surprised. I hadn't told them I was pregnant.
Oh, okay.
So I did keep it from them as well. And then the minute I came out with my pregnancy, I went under their care.
Right.
Specifically Pippa's, because she's, you know, proper, like, she's a really posh midwife. She's a posh one, like director of Chelsea and Westminster now. And so I went to the hospital where I trained to be this midwife, is what I'm saying. And I found Jackie and she said, oh, yeah, I'll do a little scan, then we'll have a coffee and we can. And she tells me a different story, but I remember her scanning me, going out of the room. And she said she went out of the room because she couldn't find a heartbeat and she had to lean against a door. And she said literally the obstetrician was walking past. So she grabbed this woman, brought her in, and they scanned my tummy again. And it was one of the most surreal moments of my life, because all I remember hearing is this woman screaming and shouting. And I was thinking, where is that coming from? And it was coming from me. And I didn't even know I was doing it, because the woman, the obstetrician, was trying to tell me that my baby's heart had stopped beating and was not alive anymore. And I just was calling for my, saying, I don't know what I'm going to tell Lexi. I don't know what I'm going to tell Lexi. And this is the woman I could hear was just screaming that. And I didn't know it was me. It was the oddest, most awful thing. And then I hadn't even told Chris I was going in because I didn't want to worry him. Yeah. And I had to make that call. And he couldn't understand it and came in as well and obviously was broken as I was.
Did you have to tell him on the phone?
I had to tell him on the phone, which was awful because then he had to make the journey. And there were roadworks up to the hospital as well because I sat in that traffic and he had to sit in that traffic. And that's the only person you want near you, isn't it, really? And the weirdest thing was, I forgot completely that I would have to give birth.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. You go, oh my God, I have to get this baby out of me. And I absolutely can't do that. I cannot do that. I don't know how I did that.
It's something that people don't really know. It's only, yeah. you know, so we had two ladies on talking about baby loss a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And it's only really having friends that have gone through it and realising that that's the reality.
Yeah.
Is that the baby, you know...
The baby's in you and the baby has to come out of
you.
And one of my biggest bugbears is when journalists or people get it wrong and say that you have a miscarriage and you think, a miscarriage is awful and I am not, you know, dismissing it in any way. But it's not a miscarriage when you have to give birth to a physical being. Had he been born at this point, he was 28, 29 weeks, he would have absolutely survived.
Yeah.
And he was a good size as well. He was like just over 5 pounds. So he was gorgeous. Yeah. The hours that followed were awful. I refused to have a natural birth.
Okay.
Because I just thought I can't do that. I need to have an operation and I need to get this baby out of me. And I was really cross and really heartbroken. And all the things, I mean, you just can't imagine. Mm. I was absolutely scared to death.
Yeah.
And I didn't, and I kept saying to my midwives, when he comes out, I don't know if I'm going to be able to hold him. I don't know if I'm going to be able to hold him. I was so cross.
You're scared as well.
Scared to death.
Yeah.
Are you all right? Because I feel so conscious you've got a baby in your tummy.
Don't you worry about me.
Like, don't worry about me.
Please don't worry about me.
I don't like talking about it when I'm with pregnant women.
I just think it's something that we should feel that we can talk about.
Yeah.
It's something we can't just hide from. And I think it's only in the past couple of years through working with people like Tommy's that you kind of go, we have to have these conversations.
I know.
We can't shying away from them isn't going to stop it from happening.
No, exactly. It's exactly right. And it's actually very common. There's like 17 births, stillbirths a day in this country.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely no reason.
Mm.
And nothing given. We had tests and pathologists. And anyway, he came out and... Jackie was there and Natalie was there and Pippa was there. And I remember Jackie saying, we're really struggling to pull him out of you. He doesn't want to leave you, which was really sad. And she held him in her arms and I said, and Chris left the room. Mm. He waited right to the moment and said, Mandy, I can't, you know, I need to leave the room. And I respected anything he wanted to do was totally fine by me. And he left the room and Jackie just described him to us. Me, and then I just said, I need him. I'm still a mummy. It's the weirdest sensation.
Mm.
And I held him and he was absolutely perfect and he looked so much like Holly.
Really?
They've both got amazing eyebrows, my children. Like,
even as
fully
babies.
Formed. Neelam would be thrilled. They had a proper beautiful HD brow.
Amazing.
And and he had perfect eyebrows. And you just, that's what you do, don't you? You sort of mentally take a photograph.
Yeah.
And nowadays there are so many amazing things. And I had photographs and I've got photographs and footprints and all the amazing things that have, you know, it's so much better for mothers like me and people that have gone through it now because you have all those memories.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how people coped back in the day when there was just nothing.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely awful. And we were very lucky because the hospital we were in had a bereavement room. So we were able to be privately
away from
all the other lovely mummies that were lucky enough to have their babies wailing away. And I think that kind of room doesn't exist across
not everywhere, no.
The UK.
Yeah.
That's something I keep thinking I need to do something about because that really saved us.
Yeah.
Just having space and being able to be there. And
well, it's something that, you know, you must hear so often. I know that I do.
Yeah.
That when you go through something like that and you're meant to be sitting alongside or in a bed alongside or whatever.
Yeah.
And no one really takes into account that you're missing something.
Yeah.
That you've gone through such a huge bereavement.
Yeah. I remember, and she probably didn't know how to say it, but the obstetrician that, you know, first scanned the baby and then, you know, delivered the baby later that day, a couple of days later, she actually said the words, "Now I know you're going home empty-handed."
Oh.
like I was a game show contestant. Wow. I will never forget those words. I looked at her and I hated her on. I just hated her for the rest. I still do. She didn't mean it, but I've never felt so much anger. It's like, oh my God, going home empty-handed. But you've had a lovely day. It was like, ugh. Do you know what I mean? It felt like that was the next sentence. And she also advised me not to try and have children for at least 18 months, which I knew
in
my...
Did she give you a reason for that?
She just said, you know, your body needs to recover and you've had a C-section and, you know, there'll be scar tissue and there's a danger attached to that and let's wait for the tests to come back. I mean, I was totally thinking in my head, I'm not waiting for 18 months. Mm. If there had been something genetically wrong with our baby, then I absolutely would have taken that into consideration. But as I said, you take all the tests, it comes back. Nothing wrong. No, not even a reason for why he died. Nothing. And so I just wasn't going to ever listen to that because as bad as it sounds, I needed a baby more than anything.
Yeah.
More than anything. The worst bit was telling Lexi, but it ended up being quite funny because she, you know, always does with kids, doesn't it? She
was, you build yourself up.
Yeah,
for the
you're
moment.
Like, yeah. I got home and I said to Chris, OK, we'll do it together. The whole thing was awful. We got home and everything else. And my parents were amazing. And Lexi came home from school and I said, the baby's not coming home because his heart stopped beating. And I turned it into Peter Pan, basically. Mm. I just, you know, when I did write my book like 5 years ago and I called the chapter The Lost Boy because that's how I even describe it now. It's that he's still in Neverland and he didn't want to come down and play and he sent Holly instead and we've, you know. And I said to Lexi, you know, he's going to carry on being with Peter Pan, I think, and he's just going to be there. And I'm sure he's going to send someone else for you. Maybe he'll send a girl next time. She said, OK, Mummy, can I go and put Children's on now? Which was Children's TV. And I was like, OK. She literally skipped out of the room. And you know when you're like, oh, God, if only I could have chin at this point. Because that was the worst thing.
Well, did she come back and say anything else about it at different points? Because sometimes kids need to...
Yeah, they digest
it, don't they?
Yeah. Don't they? Yes, she does. She did sort of say things like, is he... It's sort of randomly, weeks down the line, is he watching me have a bath now, Mummy? Do you think he would have known about his room, Mummy? It's not because of me he didn't want to come down, is it, Mummy? That was a question. And I was like, no, it's nothing to do with you, darling. He just wanted to feel it was what it's like to be in Mummy's tummy and then go back up. I said, he's upstairs in heaven now with the catalogue, choosing another one. I know it's really like, it sounds really flippant, but that's sort of how I, you know, got it through to her. And since now she's older, she's 12, and I haven't talked to her through the whole process, but I don't think we really explained to her that he was actually born.
Right.
I think we just said he died.
Yeah.
So we've had the conversation with her. He was born and he was cremated and he was this and he was that and where he is and all of those sort of things. And she's, you know, obviously at 12, she can totally and fully understand that. But she's got an annoying little sister now. So it's like, for her, it was thankfully just a distant memory, if that, because she was 5. So I feel kind of blessed that she was young enough to not feel too defined or marked by it. And I, as a mother, rightfully or wrongfully, I really kept a massive amount of emotion away from her. Mm-hmm. I would have full on closing my bedroom door and going and grieving really privately. Chris grieved in a completely different way. And you just sort of, because I didn't want my daughter to remember as a dark time. Yeah. I knew I would be able to move forward and turn it into something positive, which I have in my mind and within our family.
Yeah.
And so I never wanted her to sort of be able to say when she was a teenager that she went off the rails because of some horrible thing that happened to her mummy and the family when she was a little girl, really.
And do you still talk about Theo a lot?
Yeah, it's weird because Holly is a drama queen, much like myself, and a completely different child. So we then amazingly conceived 3 months later. And
so much for the 18 months.
Oh my God, there's just no way. Yeah, but the doctor was right. I mean, I had a horrendous birth with Holly. I don't want to keep talking to you, you're pregnant.
Don't worry.
Where are you? You know, I was in a coma and everything. It was horrible. But she was born healthy and we both were fine. Skipped over that bit. I mean, it was. And literally everything that the doctor said would happen, the baby's placenta stuck to the scar tissue in from my... Very
and they couldn't detect that in any of the scans.
So I had
like
a scan. So we had a scan and I had something called a VQ scan, I think it was called, which is a very intense scan. It's totally safe for the baby.
Yeah.
And they saw that it was attached to part of my bladder.
Okay.
But they, I had an amazing obstetrician. I was with Pippa again and all my midwives. And they, we literally booked in. We knew what we were doing. They knew my blood type. We had blood on standby. But I went in thinking, this is all going to be fine. Mm. And they were amazing. They said, we know exactly what we're doing. And the obstetrician went in, got Holly out. And I remember seeing Holly and her crying and Chris, and it was all fine. And then the doctor very just calmly came over to me and said, we're going to have to put you under, Amanda. They had, because Chris said, he suddenly was ankle deep in blood because what they hadn't detected was that my placenta was attached to one of my main artery.
Wow.
Behind my, I think it's behind your bladder.
Okay.
And I basically hemorrhaged and no amount of blood that I had on standby was going to do it. And I was even on the recycling thing where you can recycle your own blood, but it was all over the floor. Yes, and then what followed after that was horrendous for Chris, is all I'll say. I knew nothing about it. I was out cold for 4 days. Chris was told he might have to prepare Lexi for mummy not coming home. So Chris has been through hell and back. People always forget about the men. I think it's really important. I couldn't live my life without him. And he's just been amazing as a husband. And as a father. And you know when somebody really mans up and you just don't know where they've got it from?
Well, I think as a parent as well, as someone who...
He can't catch spiders. He can't... you know, and then he suddenly is next to you and sitting by you. He actually lost his hearing because he refused to go to sleep for 4 days. And the doctors made him go home in the end because he couldn't hear because he was so tired. And obviously my parents were with Lexi and Lexi was being, you know... spun a much gentler story.
Yeah.
Holly was totally fine in an incubator, but totally fine.
And I guess in that moment as well, you know, both of your thoughts would have been on Holly.
Yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily have thought that anything would happen to you.
No, and that's all we could think about. And I asked, you know, Chris, as we've talked it through and we've had all the right kind of therapy and treatment and everything to get us through it. And Chris said that he forgot we'd had a baby.
Really? When,
yes, he said it was. He says, I feel terrible about it now because obviously he just is adore, you know, to do anything for the children like any father. But he said, I just wasn't prepared to see you die. I wasn't prepared for our children to not have a mother. He said, and I just completely, I knew that Holly was being looked after and my three angel midwives, the Witches of Eastwick, I actually called, were in love. The Witches of Isleworth, were in with her, looking after her. Chris bonded with her and held her and then had to put her back in her little fish tank. And until Chris knew I was going to be all right, he just said I just couldn't even focus on...
But your emotions must just be all over the place at that point.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know how we did it. It's the thing when he said, you know, I refused to face the fact that I would have to go and tell Lexi that. He said, I just wasn't going to happen. It wasn't in. And Chris is so terrible for asking doctors questions. He asks questions all the time, like over asks questions, rings people, constantly asks questions. He interviewed so many doctors at that hospital and he said, Mandy, they all gave me different opinions. He said, and I only started listening to the ones that were really positive. He said, there was one that gave you like 40-60, one that gave you 70-30. He said, I literally was statistic man. I was asking everything.
Yeah.
And my midwife, Pippa, who is very matter of fact, very funny, you know, made so many deathbed jokes, and we've got very dark sense of humour, yeah. and we've got through absolutely every tragedy in our life through being quite
badly
darkly.
I think most people
darkly.
Who have been through, yeah. you know, sort of dark times in that phase,
yeah.
You have to.
Honestly, I mean, the stuff that Pippa said to me, she even, when I came to and I saw my baby and my family and it was like a movie ending, it was like yeah. a happy ending, I had this clicker and I kept, that was morphine. Pippa said to me, there's been no morphine attached to that for like days. And I'd be going click, 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 click.
Oh,
and I don't know if you've seen Goliath, but there's this amazing thing with William Hurt and he's got a clicker. And I said, that's what it was like with my morphine clicker. I said, but nothing was coming through. I was going, yeah, man. So I would get drunk really fast. So the morphine, I would have been off my nut the amount of times I clicked it. So yeah, she played terrible tricks on me. But we got through it and we had the most incredible little girl. So back to your question, Holly was born and is my first daughter is very sensitive and observant and sweet and shy and more like my husband. Mm-hmm. And then Holly is a gobshite. I can't say that word. Oh, I'm on a podcast. Is very
we can put an E next to it. You can say whatever you like.
Very gobby and a sort of natural performer into, you know, rings room service, talks to waiters, winks at waiters. I mean, she's just...
All the things that she's seen you do.
Cheeky, yes. Darling, could you squeeze us in? We haven't booked. You know, it's one of those. And
funny.
Yeah, and I just one day I started... It was a really lovely day and I just thought, one day she's going to have to know about Theo. I'll yeah. just tell her now, because that was, I think, your original yeah. question. Sorry, I've gone all around the houses. And I said, oh, you know, you had a brother. I said, but he didn't really come to live with us. His heart stopped beating in mummy's tummy. And he went back to heaven. I said, but he sent you. I said, he didn't really fancy it. I said, I think he wanted to feel what it was like to be in my nice warm tummy and then wanted to go back to heaven to be with his friends. He said, but I was so thrilled that he sent you because, you know, yeah. you obviously had this discussion with him. She said, I think I can remember it, mummy, when I was in heaven. I know him. The worst thing is she then after the story, she sort of goes and tells all the teachers that she's got a dead brother in heaven. And you can see the teachers looking at me like, oh, hello, Mrs. Hughes.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, oh, no, she's done the story of the baby. And, you know, as a family, we're completely across it. He's in our thoughts. And I do not ever want the sort of pitying, oh, terrible, what an awful, tragic loss. It is. Yeah. It's absolutely horrendous. But Holly's talking like it's happened last yeah. week. And so you're sort of like, come on. And I keep saying, you know, we need to keep that story sort of just within, you know, family and friends and obviously podcasts. We don't need to talk to all the teachers about Theo. What if Theo might have liked to do baking today or, you know, in class, whether he would have been on the rainbow or the sunshine or the...
Oh,
anyway,
he's
very present in her life, which is really lovely. And he's more of a huge, like, you know, I think about him every single day.
Yeah.
Absolutely every single day. As a little passing thought or a little nod or a little... There'll be something that will make me think of him every day. But to Holly, he's like with her because it's quite a new... It's only in the last
like
sort of half
imaginary
a year.
Friend.
It's like a new friend for yeah. her. Yeah. And she's got two Theos in her class. She goes, oh. It's not my brother Theo, mummy. And I'm like, no, I know that. It's your friend Theo and there's another Theo in another class, isn't there? So funny. I mean, she's funny. She's
was there
funny.
An extra pressure going through both things with people knowing about it? With like that press attention that would have been there? Like, did you just shut yourself off and try and be away from all of it? Because you're obviously doing Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, so I was doing Britain's Got Talent. So this is the most peculiar thing about having Holly and going through all that trauma was when I came out of the coma, it was an induced coma. So when they knew if nothing was going to pack in, because your organs and things all fail when you've lost loads of blood. Chris said to me, Mandy, I want you out of here in a week. I went, are you kidding me? I mean, literally, I haven't washed for 4 days. I've been out. I've heard of all this stuff that's happened. I said, you've just told me the story. It's all been a trauma for everyone.
Yeah.
How do you think I'm going to get out of here in a week? He said, you will get out of here in a week. You will, and you will get out. I remember I had a Zimmer frame. My mum had to wash me. I was thinking, I'm never... And I did it. I got out in a week. And 10 days after that, I went back to Britain's Got Talent. that's madness, but that's the only way I could do it.
Because really?
Yes. I had to show Lexi, who came to hospital with me with tubes and just, I mean, I looked like death, literally. Mm. And I literally strapped Holly to my back, took help with me. Obviously, I needed help. And I went back. And I went back to work, because it's not work, Britain's Got Talent. My spirits were immediately lifted.
Really?
Because you would spiral after those sort of events, yeah, with a happy ending or not. And the producers and everybody had come to visit me. They'd got doctors and they were like terrified, but they knew they couldn't say no to me because of everything. They were like, we're not going to make you any more upset than you already are. We're not going to say no, but can we just double check you're actually fit for work? And Chris was like, yep, you need to do this. You need to get there. This is what you need to do because this is who you are.
Yeah.
You're a mother that works. I'm not exactly working either, am I? I'm sat on my bum judging other people. It's the best job in the world. But I did it. And so obviously there was massive press attention, massive judgment, loads and loads
really?
Of horrible. Yeah, loads of horrible stuff, loads of positive stuff. Lots of people judging me. But you just have to know, well, I'm sorry, none of you have been through any of this last 5-year nightmare. And if I want to put on some lippy and a pair of Spanx and carry my baby out of the door and in Birmingham as well, which I felt was a full circle because I had come back from Birmingham when I'd lost Theo and I went back to Birmingham with Holly and I thought, this is the universe showing me that this is an absolute circle. Something was taken away, but I've been blessed and I've still been blessed.
Yeah.
And it just felt amazing and I went back to work and I thought, F word, all the other people that are criticising. The F word we call it in our house. Did you just say the F word, Mummy? No, I didn't. I definitely didn't.
Oh, dear. Mm. How do you do the juggle? Because you say that it's not work, but you do actually quite a lot.
I do a lot.
Yeah, you do a lot. You have amazing holidays. I've seen the photos of you all together.
I live for holidays. I literally work my butt off so I can go and spend money on holidays. My husband's always killing me, going, yeah, but we need a new carpet and we need to sort this out. So I'm like, yeah, but we need a holiday. We need to be together as a family. I just live for sandcastles and beaches and not waking up and going, the school run. Oh, no, it's no school run. It's no school run. I don't care where we are. We don't have to be anywhere posh. As long as we're together and we don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
It's my thing. I have amazing parents who drop the hat, drop anything. And as my husband says, my mother will fly up on her broomstick from Cornwall and be with the children. I do have help at home with a lovely woman called Mary, who is a godsend and is the most incredible cake maker. She makes the best gin and tonic cake. I mean, it's wet. You just get drunk off her cake. That's not even a joke. I've taken that into Britain's Got Talent and West End shows and various other things I've done. Yeah, I can't do it without Chris. He's a massively hands-on, fabulous dad. But yeah, I think it's the women in my life. It's other women that help you to be a woman, don't they? Really,
yeah.
We all sort of hold hands and get in there together. Yeah.
All of the different jobs that you do, everyone sort of becomes a family.
Yes, absolutely. That's true. I've got the most incredible girlfriends around me. So we all did a play together last year. And we wouldn't have done the play unless we all could have done it. And we've all got children and they are all girls and they are all girls. All girls. It's mental. There's girls everywhere. I know, and they do shows for us and they get on very well and they're all similar ages. So they all go through things. So Angela's daughter's slightly older than Lexi and her daughter's been through all the whole, you know, what you expect her to go through, and Lexi's sort of on her way. And so I saw Angela at the weekend and I'm like, so the door slamming started and we're going to go to the shops and I don't want Lexi to be embarrassed. And when does Angela's incredible for advice.
Yeah.
And I talk to her all the time about it, but the children get on really, really well. And that's right. And we're a group, so we are a family.
Yeah.
Those women are my family. I can talk to them about anything all the time. The girls get on really well. Britain's Got Talent is a weird family.
Yeah.
I mean, children has brought us much closer.
Right.
I think. I was always close to Simon, but in a completely different way to how it is now.
Yeah.
Now it definitely feels sort of more family and more, I feel like I can talk about stupid mundane things that are happening at home because he wants to talk about silly mundane things.
Well, because that,
that
is
Eric
what your life
and Lauren and yeah. Whereas before it would be work related or where we were going, nice sort of glossy, glamorous things, but never really about the real stuff that I wanted to talk about. And I can talk about that with him all day. That's totally fine. And he's a bloke, so I'm thinking he doesn't really want to hear about nappy changing and you doing
nights.
Gina Ford. Who, darling? And all of that kind of scenario. But now with Alicia as well, that was a game changer when she came on the show. So to have another woman there, you can immediately relax.
Yeah.
And David having a little boy as well. Yeah. He's a lovely dad, really lovely, fun, gorgeous dad. So we've all got that in common, and it's sort of made us all, I think, just relax. And
it
go,
just
let's
feels,
talk about home.
It just feels wonderful to watch. Like,
yeah,
I always feel like, you know, like I'm a celeb, Anton Deck. That's why you watch that. That's
a real
big reason.
Yeah, of course.
For Britain's Got Talent, you four are a huge reason for me as a viewer why I watch
That's
it.
Good.
I just love seeing you four together.
Just the banter.
Yeah, banter,
I know.
The friendship.
Yeah. It is funny because there were cameras on us. Literally, one followed me into the toilet one series. I'm like, go away. It's like Big Brother doing the show. But you do forget they're there. And so sometimes, because we don't see the show till it goes out, and then you see us saying, what are you having for tea? Well, I don't know, I might have fish and chips. I mean, they literally record everything and then stick out what they think's funny.
Well, especially because they've got
some of the stuff they've heard that are in the banks. You're like, oh my God, you're literally hearing everything.
Just don't upset anyone.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I'm thinking, gosh, I hope Simon would have had them all looked after. But you're like, Jesus, we talk about everything. Me and Alicia especially are gross with our habits.
Really?
With everything we talk about as women.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh my God, there's a sound department up there. They're hearing all about our bowel movements. Which is what we talk about a lot.
I think, though, when you become a mum, like that, all that conversation, that's up for grabs.
I love a chat about poo.
I just think, who does it? Who doesn't?
I know.
Oh, you should be able to talk about this stuff.
You should be able to. You really should. I go like this. Simon, still doesn't like talking about poos and things.
Oh, it's a shame. No, he needs to change more nappies.
He does, yeah. They're out of nappies.
Oh, it's such a shame.
But he's brilliant. It's been life-changing, obviously, it is for anyone. But it's been particularly, I love watching him with Eric.
Really?
Just so cute. I love it. He's got him really well trained as well.
Oh, really?
He literally comes out with one line. Okay, hi, guys. Eric says. Hi, Eric. And we treat him with kind of a little bit of respect just in case we're still doing the gig in 12 years and Eric might be our boss. Yeah. Like that. But yeah, he has a presence, Eric does. And
that's
he does
really
wear his shirt slightly unbuttoned.
Oh.
Yeah.
High-waisted trousers.
No, a pair of chinos. He loves a chino.
Oh, nice.
Simon's
nice.
Never worn a chino. Not in my day, anyway.
Oh, dear. Well, you know what? I have so many other things written down, but we don't look at these things.
No, I know.
No, we don't. So I've got three sentences at the end of every podcast.
Oh, gosh.
It's easy.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You're just going to finish three sentences for me.
Oh, okay. Finish
That's
them. I get done by my husband for doing that. Stop interrupting,
no, but you're
Amanda.
Allowed to. You're allowed to, yeah. Okay. So being a mum means?
Everything.
I love
I can finish the sentence, but not with one word.
You can. That
means everything. Yes.
Yeah.
It means absolutely everything. I would cut off, you know, I would just do anything for my children, like any mother would.
Yeah.
But it's shaped, it's made me a much better person, and I couldn't be without my children.
Since being a mum, I
get knackered really fast. I constantly feel guilty. I go to bed every night thinking, oh, I could have done that better. I could have done that so much better.
Do you?
Yeah.
In terms of being a mum?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I shouldn't have tidied away the Barbies. They were right in the middle of a marriage. I've upset the marriage over there, the thing over there. Yes, I constantly think I should have sat down. I shouldn't have said, come on, it's bath time. Put your crayons down. I should have just gone, all right, 5 more minutes.
But that sounds, you did it very nicely.
I do. Well, yeah. I do. There's threats. Yeah. I mean, there are kinds of threats. The naughty step, Holly goes, do you want me to go and sit on the naughty step? I'm like,
Holly just
this isn't going to. Yeah,
there.
I know.
It's just like so kind.
Even if I say, right, you're not watching Princess Sophie. I don't care, Mummy. I don't like it anymore. Okay.
What else have I got?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm taking your iPad off you. Have it. She's like that. I'm like, I don't know what to. Then this gets it. I'm going to write in your yellow book. I'm going to write to your teacher in your yellow book. Don't write in my book, Mummy. I'm going, all right? Don't stress is what I learned to say now. She's six. She's gorgeous, though. She's not obnoxious, but that's her. Don't stress, mummy. Yeah, sorry. It's that was advice. A long sentence.
No. It's good advice to have. And the last one is I'm happy when?
I'm on a beach with my children and my husband. I literally live for downtime and just doing nothing when I've got nothing to do except be. And trying to learn to be takes at least a week. And once you are in that zone, you go, oh my gosh, I've actually been on the floor playing with my children. And I hate playing dollies, but I do. I get in there and 2 hours have gone. Yeah. And I think they're the days where I go, I've been a really good mummy. I played dollies today.
For that 2 hours?
Yes. For those
amazing.
2 hours, I was brilliant. I thought of loads of scenarios. Ken, Barbie and the minking monster house dollies or whatever they are, the freakish ones. And I love it when I have no schedule and I can just be with my children without looking at my watch and my phone is off.
Off?
Oh.
Not even on silent, just off.
Off. I do look at it when they go to bed, but
that's
off.
Amazing. I think I could learn from that. I think I have my phone. It's always on silent, but I think off.
It's on silent, and then my husband kills me because he can never get me.
Yeah, same. Always. Tom's always like, why is your phone on silent?
Like, because
what's
it pings every
one?
Flipping minute of the day.
I hate it.
Yeah, I hate it. Ping, ping,
yeah,
ping.
Yeah, annoying.
Like, oh. Yes.
I love it. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
And that's it, the end of this episode. Thank you, Amanda.
Gosh. We should be sponsored by Kleenex.